Blog Talk Radio.
They went one day. They was going to call on the president in a quiet and a sociable way. And the afternoon was sunny and the weather, it was fine. They counted out our money and no banker was left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. They were all down at the White House. No banker was left behind. Conductor's calling all aboard, we'll be leaving soon with champagne and shrimp cocktails. And that's not all you find. There's a $1 billion bonus and no banker left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. When the train pulled out next morning, no banker was left behind. No banker, no banker, no banker could I find. When the train pulled out next morning,
here is formally and finally what Occupy Wall Street says and wants. It is, in essence,
I just realized I had my friggin' mic off the whole time. I am so sorry. That's probably why everybody hung up, huh? Okay, sorry about that. Anyway, what we're going to talk about is the smear campaign against Occupy Wall Street. I just wasted, you know, 4 fucking minutes talking to nobody. What I'm going to play now is Keith Olbermann talks about the right smear of Occupy Wall Street. It's a little 3-minute clip from his countdown show. Here it is.
Here is formally and finally what Occupy Wall Street says and wants. It is, in essence, their special comment. As we gather together in solidarity to express a feeling of mass injustice, we must not lose sight of what brought us together. We write so that all people who feel wronged by the corporate forces of the world can know that we are your allies. As one people, united, we acknowledge the reality that the future of the human race requires the cooperation of its members, that our system must protect our rights, and upon corruption of that system, it is up to the individuals to protect their own rights and those of their neighbors, that the democratic government derives its just power from the people, but corporations do not seek consent to extract wealth from the people and the earth, and that no true democracy is attainable when the process is determined by economic power. We come to you at a time when corporations, which place profit over people, self-interest over justice, and oppression over equality, run our governments. We have peaceably assembled here, as is our right, to let these facts be known. They have taken our houses through an illegal foreclosure process, despite not having the original mortgage. They have taken bailouts from taxpayers with impunity and continue to give executives exorbitant bonuses. They have perpetuated inequality and discrimination in workplaces based on age, the color of one's skin, sex, gender identity, and sexual orientation. They have poisoned the food supply through negligence and undermined the farming system through monopolization. They have profited off the torture, confinement, and cruel treatment of countless animals and actively hide these practices. They have continuously sought to strip employees of the right to negotiate for better pay and safer working conditions. They have held students hostage with tens of thousands of dollars of debt on education, which is itself a human right. They have consistently outsourced labor and used that outsourcing as leverage to cut workers' health care and pay. They have influenced the courts to achieve the same rights as people with none of the culpability or responsibility. They have spent millions of dollars on legal teams that look for ways to get them out of contracts in regards to health insurance. They have sold our privacy as a commodity. They have used the military and police force to prevent freedom of the press. They have deliberately declined to recall faulty products, endangering lives in pursuit of profit. They determine economic policy, despite the catastrophic failures their policies have produced and continue to produce. They have donated large sums of money to politicians who are responsible for regulating them. They continue to block alternate forms of energy to keep us dependent on oil. They continue to block generic forms of medicine that could save people's lives or provide relief in order to protect investments that have already turned a substantial profit. They have purposely covered up oil spills, accidents, faulty bookkeeping, and inactive ingredients in pursuit of profit. They purposefully kept people misinformed and fearful through their control of the media. They have accepted private contracts to murder prisoners, even when presented with serious doubts about their guilt. They have perpetuated colonialism at home and abroad.
You know what? That doesn't sound like what I have it tagged as. I'm batting 1,000 today, folks. This is just lovely. Anyway, what I was going to rant and rave about today, I call my posts on my blog Bitch Fest, and that's usually what I do is I bitch. What I was bitching about on my blog the other day was Rush Limbaugh and Andrew Breitbart. I call them douchebags on parade. There's a really good piece over at Rolling Stone, Matt Taibbi wrote, entitled Why Rush Limbaugh is Freaking Out About Occupy Wall Street. It's a really good read. He actually has the video of you know, Rush losing it over the whole, you know, the whole movement. And this is the part that really knocked Matt's socks off. He says, here Rush paused before making his Sherlock Holmesian deduction from these facts. This whole thing is a construct of the media, Democrat complex, industrial complex. And Matt says, I nearly fell over laughing when I heard this. What the fuck is the media, Democrat, industrial complex? Has Rush been reading Noam Chomsky's books on the side? Calling any group that includes me and Glenn Greenwald an industrial complex is extremely high concept comedy, and we should have t-shirts made. I also love the phrase, emails have been found. Actually, it was more like a sleazy cyber provocateur and amateur FBI informant stole the emails, but who's quibbling? Anyway, it's a good read. I will have the link to anything we discussed on the show today over at my blog, Left Wing Nut Job, and I will link to Matt Taibbi's article over there as well. Like I said, I'm batting 1,000. That piece I played from KO right now did not sound like what it was supposed to be. But what I'm going to play right now, I'm praying to God it's what I think it is. Fox News recently called the 99ers on the air parasites, and Sank, who I really love from Young Turks, kind of tears into the whole bullshittery that they pull on the air. So that's a little bit of a 5-minute clip, and I'm going to go ahead and play that now. Let's pray to Buddha that it's what it says it is. Here we go.
David Ashman from Fox News talking to Thomas Sowell, who claims to be an intellectual and one of the leading thinkers on the right, which is, of course, a joke. In this clip, he's going to call everybody who's not in the top 1%, basically a parasite. Let's watch.
This is the age of complaining classes, whether they are lawyers, community activists, radical feminists, race hustlers, or other squeaking wheels looking for oil. No society ever thrived because it had a large and growing class of parasites living off of those who produce. Is what we're hearing with these Wall Street protests just from this complaining class?
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine when I was their age that I would have enough money that I could afford to hang around in parks for weeks on end, not doing any work and not bringing in any income.
Now get a load of that irony. He says they've got enough to live here without having to go get a job. So wait a minute. So are they bums and homeless? Or do they have so much money that they could live in luxury here? Does it look like they're living in luxury? They make it seem like, oh, these guys are so rich. Yeah, I know. The rich are sleeping out here without a tent on the concrete floor to fight against the top 1% who's bought our government. How does that make any sense? It doesn't. But the people like Thomas Sowell make a living by sucking up to the right wing and by saying, okay, how can I serve you? How can I tell other people that the 99% are parasites? But they're not done by a long shot. Look at David Astman get gleeful with Thomas Sowell. Watch.
Well, and the incredible thing is they're a lot of them are there to complain about capitalism, and you see them on cell phones, not to mention an iPhone. I mean, you know. Go ahead.
But the thing that strikes me about them, wherever they're interviewed, they are incoherent. They will toss out a few scraps of rhetoric, and they feel that they've said something. But they can't tell you exactly what they want. They can't tell you what they're really complaining about, other than that the world is not built to their specifications.
The ass man comes out and goes, the incredible thing is that they say they're against capitalism, but they're using iPhones. No, we're not saying we're against all businesses. We're saying, you know what? The banks, for example, should compete in a free market. I thought that was the capitalist thing to do. I thought that was the thing that you were in favor of, supposedly, in Fox News. No, the banks have taken $1.5 trillion of our money. A trillion's at the Fed, half a trillion they took out of the Treasury. So where's the free market in that? We're not against all companies. We're against the companies that have an unfair advantage because they contribute to our politicians. The incredible thing. Please, it gets even worse. Watch.
Where do these people get these ideas? Where that we're all worse off because of capitalism? And there's a little hint of that in your book that I picked out as well. You say no small part of our social problems today come from miseducated degree holders who have nothing to contribute to the wealth of society, but who are full of demands and indignation and resentment of those who are producing. Is that where these ideas come from?
Yes. And I think the education is pathetic. When I see these people on whom I guess probably $100,000 at least have been expended in their education, counting the public schools, I wonder what kind of return is there when they are unable to put together a few coherent sentences to say what it is that they don't like specifically and what it is that they think ought to be done and why.
So now Sowell's trying to say that, and Assman as well, that the top 1% are the producers. They're the ones that produce everything, and everybody else, I guess, is that leech and that parasite. And they say, oh, they can't even put together a couple of coherent sentences. All right, here's a couple of coherent sentences. Again, the banks took $1.5 trillion they have not returned. And we bought their toxic mortgages to the tune of $1 trillion from the Fed. We don't want to do that. The taxpayers don't want to give them an unfair advantage. We don't want to give them a monopoly. What we want is an actual democracy where our representatives represent us and not their donors. Was that coherent enough, or are you too thick to understand it, so-called scholar?
First of all, the whole notion of the fair share, I'm still waiting for someone to tell me, what is the fair share? Is that 20%, 40%, 60%, 80%, any number? Or even to give me some principle by which you might determine. And really, it reminds me of the old question asked to Samuel Gompers, the legendary labor leader, when he said, what does organized labor want? And he said in one word, more. And when they say fair share, they mean more. That's all they mean.
All right, Mr. Sowell, you want numbers? I'll give you numbers. How about during the Clinton years, when we had a marginal tax rate of 40%, we created 23 million jobs in 8 years. And when we lower the top income tax rate, which is what you want to do, to 35%, over the last 10 years, we've lost a million jobs. How you like them numbers? And they say, oh, these guys, they just want to tax the rich more, but they never give numbers. How about your numbers? How about your philosophy? All you ever say is tax the rich less, 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 less. Okay? And you know, under Herman Cain's plan, Warren Buffett would pay anywhere from 0 to 1% in taxes. And I suppose that still isn't enough for you. All right, we have the numbers to show that actually we can create jobs, and all you ever do is lose jobs. So,
amen.
Unsurprising that the Ass Man and Soul had a little gleeful interview there where, again, they represented the top 1% and the bankers who are robbing us blind. Fox News at its best.
Speak it, Brother Sank. I love that man. Obama didn't help this week either. He gave an interview to ABC News where he compared Occupy Wall Street to the teabaggers. Just really made my freaking day. Believe me, because obviously he's missing the friggin' point, too. It's a very short clip where I took out a little piece where he compares him to the teabaggers. Here, let's all get sick together and listen.
Some of the frustration has come out in this Occupy Wall Street protests. You've expressed sympathy with their position, their feeling of powerlessness. How do you, as President of the United States, channel an energy and anger that is aimed at you in some ways? Aimed at Washington?
What I've said is that I understand the frustrations that are being expressed in those protests. In some ways, they're not that different from some of the protests that we saw coming from the Tea Party.
Oh, yes, they are, President Obama. They are totally different, you Nimrod. Number one, they didn't have the money of the Koch brothers behind them. It was astroturfing, you jackass. These guys are just now starting to raise money. Aye. Just drives me insane. It really does. You can, I'll have a link to the whole the whole friggin' interview if you want to read it over on my blog after the show. Media Matters has got a whole section on the right smear campaign against Occupy Wall Street, which I'll include too. It's a really good section, and I don't know if you're familiar with Media Matters. If you're not, you should get familiar with them. They're a great research site. I'm going to name off just some of the titles of some of these different pieces they have. And most of these are Fox News clips. This one here is a good one. The protesters are the fringe and lunatics. Occupy Wall Street's website reads like the ravings of the Unabomber. They're only little rascals and petulant little children who don't know what they want. But we know they're socialists, Marxists, and anarchists bent on destroying capitalism, and they don't even pay taxes. It goes on and on and on. There's a ton of them. I really, really, really hope that you guys will check out some of those if you want to jack up your blood pressure a little bit. A really good one that I'm gonna try to play here. It's gonna be kind of hard because I didn't download it. Dana Loesch was on CNN. She's actually a regular contributor to CNN, and that dumb bitch actually brings in the Nazis. She brings in how the Nazis just love Occupy Wall Street. God bless her dumbass. Let me see, where is it? There it is. Okay, let's see if I can play that for you here and if it'll come out.
Age, regardless of whether or not you're employed, is the epitome of greed, number one. Number two, there's no responsibility given to Washington at all whatsoever. This current administration is propped up by Wall Street. This is the Wall Street president. This president has received more from Goldman Sachs and the very entities that these protesters are out there protesting than any other president. Three, I think the grassroots element in this has been hijacked already. One of the things that the Tea Party had to deal with two fronts. The Tea Party fought against Republican establishment. I was very involved in New York 23. Newt Gingrich and I went round and round over Didi Scozzafaba. The establishment was not a fan of me, still is not a fan of me. And we also have to fight against progressives and progressive agenda, where you have the Occupy Wall Street. They have the endorsement of the president. They have the blessing of Nancy Pelosi. They're also endorsed by the Nazi Party of the United States. They're also endorsed by communists. These are things that we did not see with the Tea Party movement. So there's another difference. I could go on and on and on, but those are the three major differences that I see.
Oh, please don't go on and on, Dana, you dumb bitch. Jesus Christ. Yes, they're co-opted already. Of course they are. And the Tea Baggers were never, ever a grassroots organization, ever. Tea Baggers simply were not ever a grassroots organization. What are you going to do? Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of try to grasp myself here. Just listening to her just drives me nuts. What she was talking about was something that Media Matters has up. It's called The Latest Desperate Smear of Occupy Wall Street Protesters. The Nazis like them. And this is from the Media Matters blog. The American Nazi Party put out a statement on Thursday that it was supportive of the Occupy Wall Street protests. Rocky Suhaida, the party's chairman, said, "My heart is right there with these people. The right-wing blogosphere saw an opportunity to associate the protests with Nazis, and the pile-on began." The Blaze, I don't know what the hell that is, quoted the statement, as did Fox Nation and Gateway pundit blogger Jim Hoft. On the Monday edition of Fox News' flagship Straight News, quote-unquote, program special report, anchor Brett Beyer also treated this endorsement as if it was significant. Interesting fact about Suhaida. During the 2008 presidential campaign, he declared his preference for Barack Obama over John McCain. In a June 2008 piece in Esquire, Suhaida was interviewed along with three other white supremacists, and three of the four preferred Obama. Esquire also interviewed a black nationalist who chose McCain. Similarly, an Al-Qaeda affiliate expressed its hope that George W. Bush would win re-election in 2004, and an Al-Qaeda website offered its support for McCain in 2008. So, does that mean that Obama is just like the Nazis, or that Bush shares Al-Qaeda's goals, or that McCain is a black nationalist? You know, I mean, I love the logic of these friggin' freaks, you know? It's just friggin' amazing. Another thing I'd like to bring up, too, I'm going to try to get off of this little tangent here, is there's a post coming, not post, but there's polls coming out showing that a lot of Americans are starting to get behind the whole movement and actually support it. The National Journal says majority of Americans back Occupy Wall Street. And I'm going to read from their article. A new survey shows that Americans overwhelmingly support the self-styled Occupy Wall Street protests that not only have disrupted life in Lower Manhattan, but also in Washington and cities and towns across the U.S. and in other nations. Some 59% of adults either completely agree or mostly agree with the protesters, while 31% mostly disagree or completely disagree. 10% of those surveyed didn't know or refused to answer. What's more, many people are paying attention to the rallies. Almost two-thirds of the respondents, 65%, said they'd heard a lot or some about the rallies, while 35% have said that they've heard or not seen too much or nothing at all about the demonstrations. Thank you, corporate media. The results appear in the latest edition of the United Technology / National Journal Congressional Connection Poll. So, you know, that's good news for the occupiers. It's also good news that the media is finally picking this up. You know, I mean, that last week I spoke about how, yes, they're picking it up, but there a lot of the corporate media outlets are doing their damnedest to paint them as violent little guys. You know, Washington posted an article with this on the front page with a huge picture of a of a protester tackling a white shirt, not giving you any kind of background on why or what was going on, or you know, but definitely was trying to paint the picture that you know, that that they're nothing but a bunch of anarchists and you know, and violent protesters, which we all know is bullshit. I hope you guys can hear me okay, because it sounds really weird to me right now, and things just ain't been going my way lately. That's about, you know, that's something that I really wanted to bring up, that, you know, the majority of Americans do back, and majority is anything over 50%. I don't give a shit how far over 50%. It's like a football game. They don't ask you how much you won the game by. They just ask you if you won the damn game. And we're winning the game. I don't care what Fox News says or Andrew Breitbart or Rush Limbaugh or any of these other assholes. We're winning the game. If we've got more than 50% of the hearts and minds of the majority of Americans, we're fucking winning, and screw those guys. Another good point, a blogger buddy of mine, big, bad, bald bastard, brought up a point on my blog about the money that it's costing the New York City Police Department to police this action. And so far, Alternet's got an article on it. And it says 992 arrested at price tag of more than $3.4 million. $3.4 million fucking dollars. You know, and I guess they get the police brutality for free, you know, because God knows that those guys have been, you know, slapping them around and pepper spraying them at will. Mostly it's the white shirts, and it's not every cop. I'm going to read a little piece of the Alternet article. It says, Occupy Wall Street arrests approach 1,000 while police rake in millions in overtime. This was posted on October 18th. As the Occupy Wall Street protests enter their second month, a new mini-society blossoms in Liberty Plaza in Lower Manhattan. The energized movement continues to tax the city's budget and display an increasing willingness to engage in nonviolent civil disobedience. According to statistics provided to Alternet, by the New York City Police Department, police have made 992 arrests as a result of the Occupy Wall Street protests. The NYPD further tells Alternet that the demonstrations have thus far cost the city some $3.4 million in overtime for police officers. To put these numbers in perspective, 1,806 arrests resulted from the four-day Republican National Convention in New York City in 2004. The total security cost, according to a report by ABC News, was $80 million, which included overtime for the NYPD officers. While the federal government picked up the lion's share of the cost, the mayor's office reported that the city ended up paying about $8 million of the tab. Following the 2004 election, more than 90% of the RNC arrest cases were dismissed or ended with not guilty verdicts, resulting in a raft of litigation against the city. To date, according to a report earlier this year by Thomson Reuters, 152 plaintiffs have settled, withdrawn, or dismissed their suits, and the city has spent 1.8 million big ones on settlements, according to the New York City Law Department. Cases are still pending for an additional 474 plaintiffs. As many as 1,400 individuals each still stand to receive thousands or tens of thousands of dollars in damages as a result of a class action lawsuit. The city is already facing litigation as a result of the Occupy Wall Street protests. A class action lawsuit stemming from the arrest on the Brooklyn Bridge, which I personally say they marched them in there on purpose and then penned them in and arrest them. Anyway, a class action lawsuit stemming from the arrest on the Brooklyn Bridge more than 2 weeks ago, the class action lawsuit is seeking unspecified damages. So it's going to cost them a lot of money, the city. And sadly, that means it's going to cost the taxpayers of New York City a lot of money, too. But like I said, the police brutality is free, and it's on the house. We have a caller calling in, area code 760. Hello there, you're on the line. Hello, caller.
That's not me, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, 760. Well, There's no telling what goes on with the Google phone here. It's Buffont again.
Hi, Mr. B. Mr. B writes a great blog. Mr. B writes a great blog. I'd like to tout a little bit here. It's called Just Another Blog from L.A. It's very good.
Well, I'd like to think that I type rather than write, but whatever. Anyway, the only clever thing I have to say right now is maybe they should charge all the damn Wall Street outfits for all this overtime, since after all it's to protect them from drum circles or whatever the hell.
Yes, exactly. They're protecting them from drum circles and dirty hippies. And don't forget, they already, Goldman Sachs already supposedly paid a lot of money to the police department fund, which, kind of padded their friends' bank accounts there, so.
Well, yeah, it was some police foundation, which of course means that, I guess, that whoever's in charge of that can do anything they want with the money, like, give it to the bosses in the police department. Someone should look that up and see what the New York PD Foundation does.
Oh, I know. I agree with you totally. There's already been a write-up about how much Goldman Sachs has put into the police retirement fund or whatever the hell fund it was they gave to. It was be good to us money and rough these kids up money is basically what it was. I was going to call it hush money, but I guess you really can't call it that.
Well, no, there's not much hushing going on, unfortunately.
No, there's a lot of arresting going on. Because I keep a running tally, and there's a nice little graphic that said, occupiers arrested 1,000, banksters arrested 0.
Yeah, I saw that myself.
Yeah. The whole thing is that it's going to cost the city a lot of money because they got all these cops that are just standing around with their thumb up their ass because these kids aren't being violent. They're not doing anything they're not being anarchists. They're not tearing up the town like they did in London. And God knows they did a lot of damage in London. These kids haven't done anything. And then, they cleaned the whole damn park, the Scotty Park. They spent 2 days cleaning it. So the owners of the park didn't have to do it themselves.
Well, yes, but they're killing the grass or something.
Oh, well, wait till winter comes. The damn grass will die anyway.
Actually, I saw some garbage here yesterday that it was allegedly going to cost $400,000 to fix the lawn wherever the people in Los Angeles are occupying.
Oh, you know what? I haven't looked into that too much. How's the one in L.A. going? Are they camping out?
Yeah, I believe our lovely city council here passed some resolution or something in support
of
them.
They did. That's wonderful.
Some council members have appeared down there. I think maybe even the mayor showed up. But, of course, he's a commie, not a businessman like New York's own Bloomberg.
Villaraigosa. I love him. He's a good guy, and he's a Hispanic like me. He's a brown man. So they're not arresting people in L.A. then, right? If the city council loves them.
As far as I know, they aren't. They haven't. I'm way behind in my reading. I spend all my time talking over the internet now, it seems.
And I love you for it, Mr. B.
Yeah, well, stop tweeting, you bastards. I can't keep up.
I know. And Zombie's not going to call in today, so I'm just glad you did. I was hoping that BS would call in, but she might chicken out.
Well, she did tweet a plug.
Oh, did she?
So that, Yeah, about 5 hours ago. That shows you how far behind I am.
Oh, bless her heart. I didn't know she did that. I love her. In fact, I'm going to read. Well, I'm going to read, after we're done talking, I'm going to read her piece. She gave me permission to read her piece. And it's a great piece that she wrote. And I think you commented on it too. It's a piece she wrote about we're doing okay, and she talks about her support of the Occupy Wall Street movement, even though her and her husband are doing very well, and they're considered, you know, comfortable.
Oh yeah, I read that. I can't remember what comment I left. That's not the important thing either. So, well, you have any other callers?
No, baby, I don't. But if you're tired, you can hang up, and I can read V.S.'s piece if you want me to.
I'm not tired, but I don't know what else I have to add besides nothing. Hell.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. I really do. I'm going to give you some homework for Tuesday. I want you to check to stay on top of the Occupy LA, and then you can call in and give us an update on it.
Well, I probably should add the LA Times to my reader, but I don't know.
Oh, don't read that damn rag. Read something alternative on it. There's alternative newspapers in LA.
Well, yeah, there's the Weekly, for whatever that's worth.
I know. I remember it in the old days. I don't think it's as good as it used to be.
Are you kidding? Suck isn't the word, but... Oh, one other thing I did want to add. I mean, you know, now that the American Nazi Party and the Communist Party of the USA have weighed in, both being in favor of occupying stuff, I mean, they must represent a good, 40 or 50 people each?
Exactly. Yes, and we're all going to hell in the proverbial handbasket because they weighed in and they support it.
Yeah, yeah. I can't tell you how many swastikas and hammers and sickles have been seen around. At all the
exactly. I mean, I've got a whole collection of the damn things. Please, no, I'm teasing. But no, and then I hated the fact that Obama compared the movement to the teabaggers. I wanted to bitch slap him. I really did. I was like, you went to Harvard and you don't fucking get it. But he's running for office, so I'm sure he's trying to put us all in one big fucking basket, you know? God bless him.
As someone who's dropped out of several institutions of higher learning, I'm pretty damn sure that going to Harvard is probably pretty much designed to keep you from getting it.
Well, you know what? I think just because you went to Harvard doesn't mean you got a lot of good common sense. It doesn't, because they don't have a degree in common sense there.
Well, I mean, you know, common sense usually means, oh, it's obvious that the sun revolves around the earth. But
well, to me, it's obvious that you cannot compare the teabagger nation to Occupy Wall Street, because one's an AstroTurf group funded by the Koch brothers. The other is a grassroots movement that's not funding by anybody but little nickels and dimes that people are sending in.
No, if funded at all.
Well, they have got money. People are starting to send in money. When we first started running the show, Gwen and I were always giving out the ways that people could send money to them, because you can't do it through traditional means like PayPal and stuff. If you go to occupytogether.org, they have a link to how you can give them money, which it probably doesn't hurt for me to drop that in there. And it's a system like PayPal, but it's not a big corporate system like PayPal. And so they've got over 300,000 the last time I checked. It might even be higher than that now. And they're not just out there blowing it either. They put their little General Assembly together, and they actually decide how they're going to spend and what they're going to spend. And so they actually broke down and bought people some sleeping bags. And I was and see, that's cool. That's cool ass shit. You know, I don't think the teabaggers spend their money on that kind of stuff. You know, the Koch brothers, who fund the hell out of those guys, you know, they're not buying sleeping bags for those guys.
Right. Well, the other thing is the teabaggers show up for, you know, 3 or 4 hours or whatever, and then they all go home or ride their scooters home. Ha ha.
Yes, they're scooters that Medicare paid for. They're scooters
right, well.
That Medicare paid for. God, I love that irony. I really do.
Oh, one other thing. Remember the guy allegedly pooping on the police car?
Yeah.
Well, all we saw was the guy essentially mooning it. There were no actual pictures of poop on the car, which you think
That's
would
what
have
you
been.
Said. So who made up the lie that he was pooping on it?
Whoever ran across the photo and had a moment of whatever, doubtless, well, who knows. Some right-wing loon. Well, anyway, yeah, I'm out of steam because you've already beat me to everything good. So.
All right, sweetie. Well, like I said, do some homework for me and call in Tuesday, and you can tell us how everything's going at Occupy LA, okay?
Well, okay. My big excitement this weekend is I'll be going to the cemetery for the 2 weeks early Day of the Dead celebration.
Oh, well, that sounds like fun. Enjoy yourself.
Oh, we will. Actually going to try to go during the daylight so we can see some of the altars this time around.
Very good. I love you, Mr. B. All right, sweetie. You have a good weekend, and I will talk to you hopefully again on Tuesday.
Probably so. take it easy yourself.
All right. Take care, honey. Bye-bye. Alrighty, now what I'm going to do is, like I was talking to him about, a very good friend of ours, a fellow blogger. She runs a blog that's called slainbyvacuumslayer.blogspot.com. She's a stay-at-home mother because she recently had a child, recently within the last year, I think, year or two. And her husband makes a decent living. They're not rich by any stretch of the imagination. She's fond of the F-bomb like me, and I found her through Mr. B and Zombie, the guy that talked, came on Tuesday when I was on. And she doesn't usually blog political. She's also a fantastic artist, just fantastic. She has a section on deviant art where she's just got some magnificent work that she does. But that's beside the point. She did a piece on Tuesday. It's called We're Doing Okay. And she gave me permission to read this piece, and I really, really, really like it because it's almost like, you know, she kind of almost sounds like she's apologizing because she's doing well. But here it goes. And this is from my friend, we call her VS, which is short for Vacuum Slayer. It's called We're Doing Okay. Well, even. My husband makes a good living. We do not reach the $250,000 that's $250,000, to put it another way, threshold that some folks were freaking out about when talk of raising taxes began, but we live a fairly nice life. We have a nice house. I can get a nice pair of shoes or a nice handbag now and again. We are not rich, really, not even by a stretch, but sometimes I feel rich. Only, it's not really fun to feel rich this way. There are way too many people suffering all around us. Well, not all around us, because we're in the middle class suburban hell. But when I start seeing people standing in highway medians with signs that say, we'll work for food, I know things are getting bad. Okay, so my husband made some good choices, which affords us our decent lifestyle. He worked really, really hard. He has 2 master's degrees. He saved. He was responsible. Not everyone who falls on hard times makes all the right choices. But I don't think the proper punishment for a lapse or two in judgment is joblessness and poverty. And let's set that aside, because the fact is that most people work hard. Most people try. Most people are not looking for a handout. Most people just want a shot at a decent education and a job, and lets them live a decent life and perhaps occasionally treat themselves. Most people don't even expect that. I think they should. I stand with the 99%ers. I don't fucking care what they're wearing, what they smell like, and where they're pissing. I care that they're caring and they're finally doing something. I care that the American people are finally waking up to the fact that they are getting screwed. The wealth gap here in this glorious union is disgraceful. The fact that a record number of black men are currently unemployed, how is this not considered a national crisis? Meanwhile, big business sits on trillions of dollars because they feel, quote-unquote, uncertain. What the fuck? Uncertain because you won't be able to break laws anymore? Skirt paying your fair share in taxes, perhaps? Because you'll have to deal with regulations that make sure you can't screw and or kill consumers? Uncertain about what exactly? Please, big business, let us know, so we can hold your little hands and tell you it will be okay. Being a master of the universe capitalist comes with risk. You know this. If you suddenly cannot handle risk, perhaps you should not be in the business. Where are the fucking jobs, job creators? And when you're making record profits and looting pension funds, because executives need more compensation than the working plebes, damn it, do not tell me that you are a little fraidy cat who can't help but sit frozen because Obama and the 99 are so mean to you. You're doing fine. You're doing better than fine. You're doing sociopathically fine while the world goes to shit around you. So remove your boots from our necks and we'll think about doing the same to you. To those 53% fuckfaces whose reaction to human suffering is, fuck you, I got mine, go fuck yourselves with rusty chainsaws. The proper reaction to hearing that the economy sucks and that people have fallen on hard times is, let me give you a hand up. Not a smug, nasty, I'd rather starve as long as I can watch you starve a little more. Come on, that's psychotic. And lest any wingnut dare question my commitment to this ideal, let me say up front, yes, we would be willing to pay a little more in taxes to ensure that those around us do a little bit better. We are not rich. We are still willing. It's a shame you're so fucking emotionally destitute that you can't say the same. And that was from my friend, the Vacuum Slayer. And I love that one with all my heart. My back is killing me today. I've had two really great days of it. Somebody's calling in. Bless your little heart. That means I get to stand up. I'm going to turn on your mic now. It's a caller from the 646 area code. Hello, caller. You're on.
Hi, darling.
Who's
it's
this?
It's me. I'm at the bench. It's Gwen.
Hi, Gwen. Why are you supposed to be working or feeling? Are you feeling better, baby?
I'm feeling better, thank you. I'm getting a lot of work done, and you sound great. I wanted to tell you, good job. I also wanted to say, while you're putting stuff up, don't forget today to tell the folks to be calling the Tucson Police Department to tell them that, you know, they're being sons of bitches by writing out tickets at 10 o'clock in the evening for $1,000 to each one of those people in Occupy Tucson.
I forgot about that, Gwen. I'm glad you mentioned it.
No problem. I expect you to call in and knock me on the head when I'm not getting it.
No, you're right. I have to find the link to that, and I'll put that in my links, too. No, I'm glad you mentioned it. Yeah, that's how they're trying to hit the protesters in the pocketbook, aren't they?
They are. They think that, and it's totally legal. And when it goes to court, a good ACLU lawyer will take them right down to the strip them right down to bone.
I hope to hell they do. Jesus, that's nasty. I can't believe those bastards are pulling that shit.
They are. They are. They definitely are. There's, you know, the other thing that I was going to mention too was last night I heard that they had pulled a young man out of being arrested, and I wondered if you knew anything about that. I figure if anybody's heard anything more on.
No.
I've
been out of the loop because the ball and chain had to make an emergency trip to Oklahoma, and he flew out of town this morning, and he's one of those people that freaks out the idea of flying. So I was helping him get ready yesterday and pack and holding his hand, shoving Xanax down his throat and all that shit. So I was up in the middle of the night trying to keep the dogs quiet so he could sleep, and I was uploading all my little pieces that half of them didn't work right today for me to play. So I'm not familiar with that at all.
Well, they had a fellow, a young man who was, as he said, obviously gay. But the white shirts, it's the white shirts in
New
York.
It's always the fucking white shirts, I know.
Jackbooted bastards. They have been brutes, nothing but brutes to those folks. I'm trying real hard not to fall into the thing that says everybody always calls them kids. And it's untrue because a lot of other folks are out there with them. I mean, you got the Granny Brigade and the Cold Pinkers, and lots of folks that are staying 24/7, but 24/3, and then back again.
Yeah.
It's a show of force. It's a show of solidarity by a lot of folks. But I wondered about this guy because the crowd grabbed him. Apparently, there's film on it. The guy came right after him, the white shirt, and started punching him.
Oh my God.
Without provocation, too. And I mean, when you capture it on film, it doesn't matter what the New York Police Department says about it in their issued statement.
What they try to say is that they missed what happened before the cop punched him. That's what the New York PD line has been all along. Well, you didn't capture what happened before that incident started. But, you know, there's a ton of cameras. Everybody's got phones, you know, camera phones nowadays. There's you know, 50 eyewitnesses. That idiot Anthony Bologna, you know what they did to him, the one that pepper sprayed the girls that were penned in? They took away 10 of his fucking vacation days. That's all that happened to him.
That's wrong.
I know it's wrong. The man gets a goddamn month of vacation, and they slapped him on the wrist and took away 10 of his vacation days. Woohoo!
It's really quite wrong because he set a standard of brutality for the New York Police Department. Now realize that these fellows have been trained to look at people with a different eye than regular police force since 9/11. Good excuse. I accuse them openly of brutality. On the other hand, I would like to say that here in Occupy Lake Worth, Palm Beach, we're one big group. The PBSO, or the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office, who are our constabulary around here, they have been nothing but guiding and avuncular. They've been great so far, Dusty. So
cool. There
are those places where the cops realize they're part of the 99%.
And see, that's what Bouffant was saying about L.A. The L.A. City Council actually released a proclamation saying they were behind them. So how could the Sheriff's Department and the Police Department go in and start banging on them? You know, I think that was a great move on behalf of the City Council to do that. I think it really gave a cover of protection to the protesters so that the Baca, who runs the Sheriff's Department, or I don't know who runs the LAPD, but, you know, they can't go in and start banging heads when the whole city council and the mayor are behind it. And that's great, you know. And not all cops are bad. Like you said, it's mostly the white shirt. I always say this, I come from a long line of law enforcement folks. I believe that most cops are just and good people. You know, but it only takes a couple bad apples to ruin the whole fucking force. So, you know, that's where we're at. And it's 9 times out of 10. I mean, I've never seen anybody but a white shirt yet that's fucked up. And those are supervisors.
Hey, my experience has been that it's almost half and half. Half are as bad as the criminals, and the other half are real good guys who are working hard to protect and serve.
Yeah.
I see it, and that's a scary thought, but that's basically what I've seen. And I've seen that in this country, in England, the cops seem so wonderful, and yet look what they were doing during the rioting over there.
I know.
I think that they triggered a lot of it, to be honest with you. But, hey, I guess I'm just doing my very best to align myself with the dissonance and the rebels. But it's never been difficult to do before.
No, I'm with them, too. And I know it got ugly over there in London, and I don't condone violence just for violence sake, you know, and I don't, you know, I belonged to the SDS when I was a kid, and they did have violence, but I've said that before, but hey, you know, they would call ahead and make sure everybody's out of the building before they blew it up. So, you know, hey, there's a means to an end, and that's what it is. But, you know, that for these white shirts to be, you know, just pounding the living shit out of these people. And on Tuesday's show, I played Sergeant Shamar's, Thomas's rant against the cops. And I hope people actually went to YouTube and watched it because it was really moving. He was standing there just going off on those motherfuckers. And they just stood there. Because he was in full uniform, even though he's retired from the military, and he just was right in their face saying there's no honor in beating up on unarmed individuals. You know, there's no honor in it. And they didn't arrest him, you know, and I think they didn't arrest him because of the fact that he was a military man. But I'm glad he said what he said. I mean, it choked me up, and I don't choke up easily.
Well, he did do a really good job. I did see him on Oberman. I think that, and the polls that have been coming out that are easily saying that the majority of this country, I mean, you think that the United States of America, that society, the social norm itself, has not learned from the civil rights movement, that we don't realize what is polarity-wise, what is right and what is wrong. And when you've had the triggers of all of the hate speech and xenophobia that's gone on since Obama's been in office.
Oh, yeah.
I think people are just fed to the teeth with it. It's like my back teeth are floating, you know? My back teeth are floating with the bullshit.
Yeah, and like I read that where it said the majority of Americans back OWS, it said at least 59% of the adults either completely agree or mostly agree with the protesters, and only 31% mostly disagree or completely disagree, and 10% were sitting on the fence or refused to answer. And so, like I said, when they ask you if you win a football game, they don't ask you how much you won by. It's just whether you won or lost. And as far as I'm concerned, we're fucking winning because we got 59% of the adults that agree with us in some form or fashion at this point. And we can thank, according to a Guardian article I read, one of the reasons why this whole thing started getting the corporate media attention was because of Sergeant Anthony Bologna. Good old Anthony Bologna. That son of a bitch, you know, he's the one that took it worldwide when he pepper sprayed those girls. And we can thank that douchebag for that, you know, because he was such an asshole, that's what got all the coverage moving in the corporate media.
And the thing is that every time the New York Police Department pulls another brutal move like they have, or mm-hmm. any police department pulls a brutal move on these kids, and now it's not just the United States, it's global.
Oh, it's global.
Are beginning to set up camp in cities all over it. You just got to watch the Italians because provocateurs involved in the Italian crowds from the sports crowds.
Only group that I saw that got ugly was the ones in Rome. There were over 900 protests that over last weekend worldwide, and that was the only one that got press that turned violent. And they were agent provocateurs. They took it over, and they got ugly. And it was a very small group, but that's all it takes. You know, it just takes a small group, just like it takes a small group of white shirts to make the whole New York Police Department look like assholes.
Well, you know, my sister just brought up a good point too, Dusty. She said that, you know, you guys are forgetting how angry they are in Greece because they are doing such severe austerity there. They're in Ireland, but in Greece, it's gotten, you know, it's gotten nasty in the streets.
Well, yeah, because they're cutting everybody's throats from they're starting at the bottom and working up. It's like what they're doing in California, only it's on a worse level. They're cutting all the programs for the poor people. They're cutting all the programs for the handicapped people. You know, the people who don't have a voice, that don't have representation, and the people in Greece. You know, they're saying fuck this shit, man. We're going to get nasty on your ass, you know, because you're taking food out of our kids' mouths.
Oh yeah, and so I've heard about the austerity in California, and how many people are suffering over it, especially single mothers.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. No, it's horrible. And the worst part for me, not because I'm disabled right now, is some of the worst cuts have been in the programs for the disabled and the elderly, and they're just whacking the whole programs out, like, you know, like the bus, when they used to come and pick them up in buses and take them to doctor's appointments and stuff like that, they're not doing that stuff anymore either. And it's like, Jesus Christ, you know, how much money did you save by knocking that program out, you motherfuckers? You know, would you save $1 million? You know,
you're
40
crazy.
Million in the hole, and, you know, you save what, maybe a half million or $1 million by screwing the old people or the disabled? You know, good for you, assholes. Good for you.
Did you hear that Greece is actually in a general strike right now?
Yeah, they have been for a while now.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just was reading it on MSNBC thing here. I had no idea how far it had gone.
Because the general, their government has passed laws.
Yeah, I think it started a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure. I don't want to be quoted on that, but I think it's been going on for a while now.
Wow. Well, up here it did say and this is Athens, Greece. Angry protesters vowed to bring Greece to a standstill on the second day of a general strike on Thursday while disgruntled lawmakers vote on the details of a deeply unpopular austerity package needed to stave off bankruptcy. So they must have been threatening it, and then they did.
Oh,
it.
Either that or they were doing little small ones here and there, and they just finally did a great big massive one. Maybe that's what it was. Because I know I read something about it a couple of weeks ago. We don't need to quibble about that. But, no, they could bring a country to their knees, you know, and they did something like that in France, what, a year or two ago when they tried some austerity moves. Oh, I know what it was, when they were trying to cut their vacation. they went nuts over that, you know, and we just want to be able to eat.
Oh, have every right.
The IMF and the EU are forcing Greece to make lawmakers to make these cuts.
No, you're right. The IMF says we're only going to give you money if you make all these cuts, and they tell them exactly what cuts to make, too. That's the International Monetary Fund, yep.
Right, and so that's why the people started today, because the government's in session to pass these laws. So they're out in the streets gas bombing storefronts and throwing rocks, and the cops are throwing gas bombs back at them at the protests. It's getting really ugly because the government, the IMF, and the EU told them, if you don't make these cuts, take 30,000, you know, government jobs away, cut pensions and this and that, we won't give you the $11 billion you need
euros to get out
yeah.
of the hole that you're in. And it's such fucking shit, because now everybody in Greece, you know, I mean, really, what are they putting? A Band-Aid, you know, on a fucking hole.
Well, and it's not like Greece is a really big, rich country either. It's not third world, but it's not on the same level as America either.
No, and it's just crazy that they're doing this, you know. So everybody's like, they're up in protest, because today, being Thursday, I don't know how different time is to us to them, but like Gwen said on the article, that they started Thursday because that's when the government's in session to pass the first part of that law, and then they're going to pass the second part. So everybody in Greece and Athens is like going just bonkers over this. To, you know, just to stand up and say, hey, you can't do this stuff. And they're cutting the unions out, telling them
of
they
course.
Can't collect the bargain. What does
yeah.
that have to do with saving fucking money? Come on. You know?
And it can't be saving that much money, but I guess when you throw all those lovely quote-unquote austerity moves in one big bucket, it adds up to a lot, but it just It drives me nuts that the IMF has that kind of power. And the IMF are the ones that put Africa in the shithole it's in. You know, they loaned them all this money, and then when they had the big drought, Africa, the different African countries said, well, you know, we can't pay your loans back. Oh, bullshit, motherfuckers, you're going to pay us back, you know, or we're going to make your life a living hell. You know, and I've written about the IMF on several occasions, and basically it's just a big money-making corporation is what the IMF is. And sadly, they have control over the finances of so many African countries. It's pathetic and disgusting. It should be criminal, and it's not.
Well, that's why so many people have stood up and said, all right, occupy. And I guess Greece, a general strike, correct me if I'm wrong, so everyone knows this and I get a clear definition to it. A general strike, Dusty, are the people of Greece saying fuck you to the government and just stopping working and
yeah.
not for Yeah,
that means the buses aren't running. That means nobody's showing up to work. That means that the guy who flicks the switch for electricity ain't going to be there. You know, he's not clocking in. You know, a general strike literally is the way I understand it means nobody shows up to work, and that means that anybody who has a job that has any type of importance isn't going to be there. And so that means that the cogs in the wheel aren't going to turn.
Whoa. Can you imagine what will happen if another country in Western Europe does it? Can you just imagine what will happen?
A bigger country, yeah, because Greece is a relatively small country, too.
If the middle class of America just decided to general strike for a day.
Oh, I know. Just one day. It would put everybody's dick in the dirt. It really would.
You said that, didn't you, honey?
I know. I told my friends, they were all like, well, can we drop the F-bomb? I was like, oh, yeah, Gwen don't mind a bit.
We got a mature rating, honey. That was funny. I just wanted to call in, hon, and tell you what a great job you're doing, and I hope you're having a lot of fun.
Oh, I am having a lot of fun, and I get to stand up and stretch out my back when people call in. That's why I love you, woman, sister woman. I'm going to cut you off now because, number one, I got to go pee, and number two, my back is killing me. So I'm gonna go ahead and sign out with Eminem. I'm going to sign out with some rap here. It's Eminem's I'm Not Afraid. His context was, I don't know, a lot of people aren't familiar with Eminem. They probably wonder why a 50-something old broad like me listens to him, but I really like him. He's mostly talking about getting his act together, but if you read the lyrics of the song, you can apply it to the Occupy Wall Street movement, and it's a good song. You know, it's kind of hard to understand him because he speaks so fucking fast, but I thought it was appropriate. And then Tuesday we're going to open with a Mojo Nixon song that Zombie turned me on to, so I hope people turn in. Actually, Gwen's here Monday through Friday at same time, same bat channel. I do the show on Tuesdays for her, and Tuesday we'll have a new intro song. So thank you, 99ers, and I hope you guys keep listening. Y'all have a good day, and here's Eminem's I'm Not Afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place. Trying to get out. Just follow me. I'll get you.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them. But you won't take the sting out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me. So fuck the world, beat it, beans. It's cashed up. If you think you're stopping me, I'm gonna be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, undoubtedly. And all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. No exams of buts, don't try to ask him why, how can he? From Infinite Town to the last relapsed album, he's still sitting. Whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he bows out or he sits his bowels out of him. Whichever comes first, for better or worse, he's married to the game. Like a fuck you for Christmas, his gift is a curse. Forget the earth, he's got the earth to pull his dick from the dirt and fuck the whole universe. I'm not afraid. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the
bars and the rhythm for you to know it's a rap. You said you was king, you lied through your teeth. But that fuck your feelings. Instead of getting crowned, you're getting capped. And to the fans, I'll never let you down again, I'm back. I promise to never go back on that promise. In fact, let's be honest, at last, we last CD was aired. Perhaps I ran the max into the ground. Relax, I ain't going back to that now. All I'm trying to say is get back to Black Cloud. Cause I ain't playing around. It's a game called circling, I don't know how.
That's my sign-off song for today. You missed the whole damn show, darling.
I know it. It's stupid work. Oh, I didn't say it out loud, did I?
Well, see, Steve, it's hard for me to do a whole 2 hours. It's just, my back just can't take
it.
Oh,
yeah.
So, you know, even when people do call in and I get to stand up, I've been pretty much doped up to my eyeballs since last night because for some reason my back took a move south. But you got some,
has the doctor given you more words about the compression or anything, or?
Nah, I'll email you about that. We don't need to talk about that on the radio. We got people on the
chat. Oh, we're still in the air?
Don't
okay.
Hear about my back?
Oh, no. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Anyway, what were you going to add, honey? You missed the whole damn show. Today we
I know. I don't even know what the subject is exactly.
Yeah,
so I didn't have any time to listen
today,
to anything.
My subject today was the smear campaign against Occupy Wall Street.
Ah, yeah.
And it was a good one.
Get some stuff to say. Yeah. But the funny thing is you got to expect it to happen. I mean, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Yeah. I played a great piece by Sank of Young Turks where he took one of the Fox Noise idiots and played pieces of it and then tore it down, played another piece and tore it down. And, you know, and I love when Sank does that, you know, because he pretty much makes them all sound like blithering idiots, which anybody who's informed knows they are anyway, you know.
Their
audience is basically, you know, uneducated morons, you know, and I'm sorry if people don't like that I say that, but that's what I feel Fox Noise viewers are, you know. They're ignorant fuckwads, so, you know, hey.
Well, they are.
And they feed them what they want. They feed them what they want, so.
Exactly. That's the thing. Is not really looking for news. They're looking for reaffirmation of what their biases are already. So, you know,
yeah.
It's a daily sort of strength show to reinforce their dogma.
Oh yeah, and then I played the piece where Obama, bless his dumb ass, he compares Occupy Wall Street to the Tea Party.
I love
that.
There's a lot of that going on.
I just love
some of that stuff. I mean, you've already gone over it, but with the move on and all this other stuff, it's pretty pathetic, you know.
Yeah,
then
it's already cost the city of New York $3.4 million in overtime, and the white shirts brutality was extra. That was no cost, of course, but it's cost them $3.4 million in overtime already just to police the Occupy Wall Street movement. So we kind of went into that too, and it's a good alternate article, and they compare it to the 1,800 arrests, bullshit arrests they made during the Republican National Convention, and how much money that ultimately cost them too, because most of those cases were dismissed, which I'm sure is what's going to happen to most of these cases where they've arrested already over, you know, almost 1,000 protesters. Plus, there's a huge class action lawsuit already.
Exactly, you know, legal fees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, you can look at it is why are they even there? You know, from
yeah.
what I've seen, it's been completely nonviolent at all. So, you know, they're the only ones, the white shirts, the only ones that are bringing it to them. You know, they're the
because
only ones
they're trying to instigate
the
it. They're trying. Yeah, they're trying to instigate the only thing I can figure is they're trying to instigate them into violence so they can – so then those guys can all earn that overtime because they're all there in their riot gear and all that, you know, bullshit, although I don't see that many in riot gear. But, you know, we covered a lot of ground today and, you know, hopefully you can – because, like I said, I usually don't go a whole hour.
I'm sorry I started tuning in late, but – anyway, I got my couple cents in there.
Hey, you know what? The ball and chain's coming out your way. He landed in Wichita today. He's going down to Indianola and Tulsa. He's going to be actually outside of Tulsa because his stepmother finally got her Alzheimer's got so bad that he has to go out there and clean out the house and do some stuff. So I said, it's too bad you can't stop and see my friends. But
him stop by.
No, he's trying to get
by.
Home. He's trying to get home because
okay.
You know, the cat rescue. I got to do all this shit alone for the next 5 days, and it's going to be hell on my back to begin with. So, thank God.
Well,
for,
you get better.
Thank
I
God
mean, send us some well wishes your way.
Thank you, honey. Well, hopefully you'll. I do the show for her every Tuesday, and when she needs me, I'll do it on other days too. So hopefully you'll be able to call in next Tuesday. At 4 p.m. Eastern, and we can have a chit-chat, darling.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk to you later then.
All righty. Take care, baby.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All righty, folks. I already played my Eminem song, most of it anyway, so we're going to go ahead and end this episode of Here Be Monsters. The show is on every day, and the gentleman just called in, Krell, we call him David. He's the godfather of Roundtree 7, and they sponsor this show. It's roundtree7.com, the number 7, and I write there as well as Gwen, and it's a great site. It's knowledge, you know, a lot of knowledge there, a lot of intelligent people that write there. We'd like you to stop by and visit. There's about 7, 8, 9 writers over there, and they're all really good. My blog, of course, is leftwingnutjob.net, and I read that wonderful piece from my dear, sweet friend, Vacuum Slayer. She can be found at slainbyvacuumslayer.blogspot.com. I suggest you stop by and read her pieces. That piece, We're Doing Okay, is a great piece. Anyway, y'all have a good day. Gwen will be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, and I'll be back here Tuesday. Take care.